We're in Revelation chapter 22, resuming our study at verse 19. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul, the spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. Did I say 19? I meant 10. Revelation 22:10. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. I do not have that drawn on the board behind me because someone has erased my board. However, I see that we're veterans here in person and online. I'm assuming you're a veteran. You simply apply the rebound technique to ensure that you're filled with God the Holy Spirit, and then we will march forward. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering here to study your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. Still fighting a cold, but by way of announcement, this is the last in-person class during the week until the semester starts again in January, but we will, of course, be here in person every Sunday. With that said, we'll get into Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. The final message, that phrase, the final message, is not in the original manuscript. It's simply put there so we can understand that this is the last message in the book of Revelation. And he said to me, this is the angel, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." So the time is near, we're going to see that. We've seen that phrase used many times, and we'll see it again as we close out the book of Revelation in chapter 22. This refers to the imminency of the rapture, that doctrine. We have that doctrine in your book, Christian Doctrines. And that simply means that there is no prophetic sign that must occur before the next event occurs in terms of God's historical timeline. And that will be the rapture of the church. Paul, John, all of these individuals expected the rapture to occur in their day. I expect it to occur in my day. It may or may not occur in my day. We know it didn't occur in their day because the church age has been plugging along here for almost 2,000 years. Seems like a long time, but then we reflect on Peter, and Peter says, of course, that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. A day is not very long, but this refers to the fact that we should live our lives as if this is the last day. And that means, of course, to do your duty, take in Bible doctrine, make it your number one priority, and concentrate on your place in eternity as opposed to your place here on this physical world, because this is a fleeting moment. Eternity is a very long moment. So anytime you see a reference to time, and the time is running out, the time is near, refers to the rapture. We also have a doctrine called time in our book. Excuse me. It is very apropos that we study time because it's mentioned here in the passage, the time is near. What is this time stuff all about? What's the Bible have to say about time? So before we go much further beyond verse 10, let's go to the doctrine of time. This book is not going to do us any good if it just sits there as a decoration. So we're going to go to time. And we're flipping over to time. That's after the S's. That's the T. And it's page 678 of your book. 678 of your book, The Doctrine of Time. Doctrine of Time. We have a revised version coming out, the fourth edition. Pages are still the same, but I've tightened things up a little bit and added and subtracted some things, but all the pages will be the same. We're reading from the third edition right now on the Doctrine of Time. So the definition, of course, God created time. In fact, God is time. I put that in the next edition. Didn't just create time. He is time. If you think about it, if you're philosophical, it will dawn on you. If you have a mathematics background, that will ring with you. Most of us, we are on a linear acknowledgement of things, but as we know, if you put an atomic clock flying around above the atmosphere, and you have an atomic clock on the Earth, and the plane lands, you compare the two atomic clocks, time's not the same. Gravity affects time. So, we're not going to go into that deep, it's about, by a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second, but they're not the same time on the clock. So God is time. God created time for our purposes. He measures it out in human history into segments called dispensations. And so we have a doctrine of dispensations that we can go to. We have a doctrine of history. But time is a measuring tool. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, he, this is Jesus, said to them, the disciples, it is not for you to know times. And that word is chronos, which means periods, or epochs. That word is karyos, which means a measure of time, which the Father has fixed. And when did he fix this? By his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, started the church age, and you shall be my witnesses, martos. And that means the doctrine of witnessing. We're all witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So God controls time. God controls history. He set these things out a long, long time ago. In fact, he set them out before we could even think about time. And then we have point two in time, which is a pivotal part of time, is the arrival of the Messiah. Let's give you 1 second. Okay. In the perfect plan of God, the promised God-man in hypostatic union came into the world. He went to the cross in order to provide salvation for all those humans that are of positive volition. These are the people that will respond to grace, and they've existed throughout all the dispensations. The man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. That's 1 Timothy 2:5-6. So God's timing is perfect. You'll hear a lot of people will say, well, why didn't Jesus come in today's time? We have all this technology. We can record things that he said and do this and do that, videograph. Well, God's timing is perfect. He came in at exactly the right time. And even if you have all, when people say that, they mean to say that more people would believe if they had more evidence. No, they won't. You can have all the evidence in the world, they will reject it. If they're on negative volition, I don't care what the evidence is. How do we know that? People that saw Jesus when he was here rejected him. They saw the miracles. They said no. So why do you think people today would be any different? They wouldn't. So God's timing is always perfect. Always perfect. And this is the critical time moment of all of history in the universe. The arrival of the promised Messiah. How do we gain a relationship as imperfect beings with our perfect Creator? Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Yes, God planned this all out before there was an eternity past. It says, you, nailed to a cross by the hands, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. That word for death there is physical death, by murder. That's what that word is. It's not thanatos. It's simply the Greek word is anaireo, and our eo, which means physical death by murder. Now, they wanted to murder him, but literally, they didn't put Jesus to death. You can't kill Jesus. Jesus dismissed his own soul and his own spirit, but certainly their motivation was to kill him. The godless men, of course, these are people that were unbelievers. They turned him over to be crucified. But God allowed this. And it was part of his plan. Galatians 4:4. But with the fullness of time, and that's pleroma, which means to fill it up to the top. With the fullness of time, that's chronos, came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And this word is refers to an adult son. And so God's timing is perfect. Hebrews 10:5-7. Therefore, when he, that's Jesus Christ, comes into the world, and here the word for world is cosmos, which means a system of thinking that's controlled by the devil. The world here refers to unbelievers. He says, sacrifice and offering, you, this is God the Father, have not desired. In other words, they're not going to save you. The Mosaic law, the law will not save you. But a body, that word is soma, you, this is the Holy Spirit, have prepared for me. This is Jesus speaking. Me, the Son of God. Holy Spirit provided the body for him. He is born of a woman, as we saw in Galatians 4:4. Not born of a man and a woman, but born of a woman. But a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. They don't save you. These are the Old Testament rituals that talked about the coming Messiah, but they can't save you. Then I said, behold, I, this is Jesus Christ, have come. And that's echo, which means to arrive. In the scroll of a book, it is written of me. That's all the Old Testament prophecies about when he would come. To do your will, thelema. He's doing the God's will, which is what? That he comes to the world, dies on the cross for the sins of the world at the right time. Oh God, this is God the Father. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself, that's Jesus Christ, as a ransom for all, unlimited atonement. The testimony given at the proper time. So all these things refer to the proper time, the proper time. God's timing is always perfect. Then we have salvation time. That's us. We had a salvation time. That's another pivotal moment. In fact, that's the pivotal moment for us. The arrival of Christ is the pivotal moment in the universe, but what about you? His arrival and going to the cross doesn't save you. It makes you a candidate for salvation. But there's a moment in your timeline of life where you grabbed a hold of it, and that's a very important time. You might remember that time. I don't. Maybe you do. I got the gospel early on many times from my mother, so I don't remember when I was saved. But it dawned on me at some point that I was saved. So I can't give you August the 15th at 10:30. Some people can. Some people can, and that's great. I just cannot. In the perfect plan of God, all positive volition humans are given the gospel at the exact proper time, some early in their life and others much later. We have a verse from 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us in his own purpose from all eternity. So when he called us from all eternity, God knew which humans would be positive in their soul. This is our positive volition car battery. Positive, negative. He knew that you would send up signals, I want to be saved. I want to know my creator would be a more accurate description. Excuse me again. I want to know my creator. And therefore, that's tantamount to saying you want to have union with the creator. You realize, and this is not a news flash, that God is perfect and you're not. All humans recognize that. You have a conscience. So it's not really, you don't need to beat somebody over the head that you're a sinner. That's already baked into the cookie. The issue is, I want to be with my creator. How do I do it? Well, if you sent up those signals called positive volition, you will get the gospel. Now, when you get it is up to God's timing. And you will get it. And for he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, on the day of salvation, I helped you. 2 Corinthians 6:2. So you might identify people that were saved on their deathbed. You say, why was that? Well, God knows the beginning from the end. And therefore, he weaves all these things in, all the humans that would want to be saved, when they'd want to be saved, how they want to be saved, into the plan, and also baked into the ingredients is, this person that wants to be saved, great. Part two, does that person want to know about me? So most humans, the answer is, do you want to be saved? No, they're on negative signals. Even if they get the gospel, they're not going to believe. They will not believe. Well, they can go to church, they can talk about God, but they do not want a relationship with the God of reality. They do not conform their mind to objective reality. They're delusional. And they fall into many categories. So they can talk about God and realize there's a God and sing about God. But in their soul, they do not accept the gospel. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. They want to be the ones that save themselves. They're wrapped into self-sufficiency and arrogance. So I'm not impressed. You shouldn't be impressed either when people talk about God this and God that, carry a Bible. Okay, are you saved? How are you saved? So most humans don't want it. Most believers, they switch over to negative volition pretty quick. In other words, they don't want to know about their creator. They just don't. And you could have the most accurate Bible teacher in existence today teaching the Bible class. Doesn't mean a thing. They're on negative signals. They will not take in anything into their soul at all. So God pulls all this together, predestination, election. We studied these doctrines before. This is advanced Bible doctrine. But God knows what he's doing. So anytime you ever have a question about heathenism or this or that, the other thing, the fallback is always the same. God's not caught by surprise. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's fair. And we have the directive will of God, two of them. I want all humans to be saved. That doesn't happen. I want all believers to reach maturity. That doesn't happen. What's the fly in the ointment, as we say down south? Well, it's not God. It's you. So God knows who wants to be saved. He knows which believers want to learn. So if you're one of those believers that wants to be saved, but you don't really, he knows you're never going to want to learn, well, no obligation to give you the gospel early. It'll do you no good. But you'll get it before you die. You will be saved. Now, I'm not presuming how God weaves this pattern together, but he weaves it together without violating human free will and answering every positive signal, whether from the unbeliever or from the believer that wants to grow to spiritual maturity. So he's got this, not a problem at all. So the salvation time for you is different from me, and in God's purpose, it's all the same. So for the mature believer that grows to maturity, at the judgment seat of Christ, remember the angelic conflict, his issue is, here's your life, John Doe, and whatever the background, whatever the positive things, the negative things, the physical ailments, the discrepancies in monetary things or social structure or whatever, you still got to spiritual maturity, which is a testament to the grace of God. All these things that we have on the stage of life, they're just props. Some people have a lot of props. Some people have very few props. That's not the issue. The answer to each believer is that despite that or because of that, I still made it to spiritual maturity because I was on positive volition and you supplied all the logistics to get me there. So that's it. So we have 1 Peter 2:3-9. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment. This speaks, of course, about the second coming and the destruction of the entire universe after the close of the millennium. And destruction of ungodly men. That's all the unbelievers. They're going to the great white throne judgment and then to the lake of fire. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. We got the word beloved in here. That's the positive believer. They understand that stuff. The Lord is not slow about his promise. And that's epag elia, which means his announcement, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, apolubi, which means to put out of the way entirely, but for all to come to repentance, that's metanoeo, or metanoia in this case, to change your mind. That's a vocabulary for metanoeo. So God wants all people, and he provides grace before he lowers the boom. And the boom will be lowered. So we don't really care about the time. We know God controls the time. But there was a salvation time, and that's a glorious time for your life because you're plucked out of the fire, the wrath of God, and you're put into his family. Marvelous, marvelous time. And then point three, which actually should be, we see that's a typo there. And we've corrected these typos. Point four is the believer's time. Eternity past, God ordained a set number of days for each believer before their physical death. Remember, there's 9 deaths in the Bible. Physical death is the big one, which everybody's got. What's the other 8? Well, that's not our topic for today. Psalm 139:16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And that's the embryo in the Hebrew, the fetus. And your book, and in your book, that's the divine decrees of the plan of God, were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. What a marvelous passage. Your book's already written. Every word is already there in eternity past. You just don't know how the story's going to end. Now, I wish you well. I wish your story ends with I reach the highest level of spiritual maturity, and then I kick the bucket. But I don't know what the end's going to be. I don't know what the end for my life's going to be. But God does. So the fact that we're still alive means what? You still got a chance. When you're dead, game over. There's no more chances. And then point four, which should be point five, segmented time. God's timing is segmented into fixed categories of normal living, and as a believer grows older, he must learn to move from one category to the other as part of the plan of God for their life. Because some people don't like to move on to different phases. You can't get them out of the hole. Some of them are still living in Mama's basement, and they're 30 years old. Dude, it's time to go. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And so you've got to accept the fact that things change. You'll see a lot of elderly women that They're still trying to get husband number 17. Those times are gone. Devote yourself to studying Bible doctrine. But see, they don't want to do that. They want what they want. And they cannot move on to the next phase. Some of the next phases may not be pleasant. They're all different. But that's the way it is. So there is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There's a wonderful song, I think, of the 60s that they did. I think the Birds did that, which is kind of a catchy tune about the times. So yeah, there is a time. And these times are segmented. You've got to learn to move from one to the other in your life. There's a time to have allergies and a time not to have allergies. So I've got the time for allergies right now. So I apologize. Not very attractive, but it's a test for you to put up with my snot and stork. But that's just the way it is. At least I don't have a squeaky voice. Paul had a high squeaky voice. So we got to segment our lives, and people don't like to move on. You got to move on. They want to try to recapture this, recapture that. You've got to learn to move from one to the next to the next. A lot of people have the empty nest syndrome. Kids are gone. What am I going to do now? I'm going to go adopt new kids. No, that time's over. Now, I'm not telling you not to adopt new kids. Some people want to, and that's fine. But in general, that time is gone. Now, maybe you could be a grandparent. And so we all have to adjust. If you can't adjust, you're going to be very miserable, and you'll make other people around you very miserable. You've got to learn to move on and accept the fact that things change. The only thing that stays the same in your life is change. The next point, time and grace. Time is a logistical grace provision for all believers, but it's specifically oriented around the positive volition believer as he advances to maturity. This is very true. James has a marvelous verse, James 4:13-14. Come now. That means like, oh, come on now. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. This is from the human perspective. There's nothing wrong with making a profit. God's a capitalist. But see, that's their number one priority. And if that's your number one priority, you're a vapor. This verse does not apply to the positive believer. You're not a vapor. You will have an impact that goes on into eternity with bells that ring up and down the echoes of time. You will be celebrated. You look up the Doctrine of Rewards. You'll have the translucent uniform. You'll have the special white stone. You'll have a new name. You'll get special mana. You'll have all these things. You will have an impact far beyond anything you can imagine. But for the rest of the knuckleheads, no, their priorities are all screwed up. They do not segment their lives. They don't put Bible doctrine number one. And so timing and grace, the grace of God keeps you alive for a purpose, to glorify Him, not to glorify you. You glorify God by putting in Bible doctrine into your soul and growing to maturity. And oh, by the way, you'll be fantastically happy along the way. It's a twofer. And on into eternity, beyond your imagination. Verse point six, which is really point seven, timing is everything. For each believer, God has a specific plan and purpose for their participation in the angelic conflict. Thus, his timing is perfect, while the believer's timing is not. 1 Peter 4:2, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's what you're doing. Once you get clued in that you're a believer, you've got to start thinking about time. Because time's a precious commodity. And Satan is a time stealer. He steals your time, just like sucking the oxygen out of your lungs. Don't let him do that. You stick with Bible doctrine. Luck, there's no such thing as luck for the mature believer. You have to understand the probability of going to Vegas and having fun. If you're a gambler, it's just for fun. Just have fun with it. Say, I'm going to lose $500. Don't go to 501. Then what do you get in return? Well, you get to see people running around acting like fools, and you maybe have a drink or two and go to a good band or a show or something and have a nice hotel room, which is worth $500. But you've got to control that stuff, obviously. But for you, there's no such thing as luck. God ordained everything, as we've already read those verses, a long, long time ago. If God wants you to have something, you'll have it. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We all have anxiety. We all have fear. Well, cast it on him. He cares for you. Far more than your family cares for you, God cares for you. You're his child. Be humble and submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. That he was going to promote you at the proper time. I always tell people, saw the wood in front of you. Wherever you're at right now, that's where you should be. This is called the geographic will of God. But everybody wants the BBD. I want something different. I'm not happy here or there or the other place. Well, you wouldn't be happy wherever you are. If you have Bible doctrine, you're happy in a hellhole. If you don't have Bible doctrine, you're not happy in a paradise, a palatial 5-story apartment in New York City that cost $15 million. And you're miserable. Why? No capacity. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you, these are believers, ought to be teachers, you have need, again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. This is the writer of Hebrews saying, you've had so much Bible training, you ought to be holding the Bible class, but you're not, because you're not using your time effectively. You're not. So even if you're sitting in Bible class, you're not doing the tools and using the time as you should use those time things. Okay. And so that's very, God has a great sense of humor. And then on page 682, we have a wonderful chart. And we'll close off with a wonderful chart. We're not going to be able to finish the Doctrine of Time today. X is when we're born, physical birth. Spiritual death, you're the unbeliever. Y is when you're born again. And that Z is when you die. The timeline in red is God's plan for your life. His plan is to get you to spiritual maturity. If you're positive for Bible doctrine, that blue line that waves around the red line, well, that's your life. You're not going to stay on the straight red line that God has ordained for you to get to maturity. Nobody does. Only Jesus and humanity did that. But we can get there. Predestination and election. So if you don't have your book, here's X when you're born, Y when you're born again, and there's Z. That's God's plan for your life, straight line. Travel up there. In reality, every time you sin, of course, you're off this line. You rebound, get back on. Sin again, you're off here. Rebound, get back on. Keep learning. And you'll get there. And that's what that diagram projects. So we'll break for here, and we'll pick it up on Thursday. Remember, Zoom class on Thursday, 12:30, Thanksgiving Day. And we'll be very Thanksgiving. We'll be very thankful to have a Bible class. With our head bowed, our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen.